And time for the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Thank you, Craig. Yesterday in the news, which happens at 7:15 every day, we talked about the death of Lonnie Anderson, who was a sex symbol in the late 70s and early 80s. She was on a program called WKRP in Cincinnati, which was a sitcom that was based at a radio station. And we did mention that she was married to Burt Reynolds, making them the first couple of Hollywood for quite some time. They were married, I think, for only about 5 or 6 years. Yeah, they married in 1988, divorced in 1994. And they had one son together. They adopted Quentin, their son.
What's that, Quentin?
And he says that marrying her, well, go ahead.
That's a real private joke.
What's that, Quentin? That's the new Southwest Conference passing record for Tom Mickey? No. Offsides.
Wait, the guy got the signal that wrong?
Yeah. My buddy from high school, Quentin, was in college at Baylor, and he was doing spotting, I think, for Frank Fallon, or stats for Frank Fallon during a football game. And he signaled offsides, and Frank Fallon on the air said, "What's that, Quentin? That's a new Southwest Conference passing record for Tom Mickey." Quentin had to wave him off and say, "No, just offsides."
I'm not sure that's correct.
Okay, that wasn't a real high point for the guy. Why you guys have to highlight?
Well, we love the late great Frank Fallon.
Oh, he was the best,
nicest guy in the whole world.
Anyway,
that was Quentin, not Quentin, but yes, indeed. Rest in peace.
Yes. Lonnie so Anderson. They
and Frank Fallon.
They were married for those 6 years. They had a 20-minute ceremony, and at the time it was, she said, "I feel like Cinderella and I married Prince Charming." Oh. Of course, fast forward a few years, and then he said that marrying her was the biggest mistake he ever made.
Oh, gosh.
He said, quote, "It was a really dumb move on my part." He said, "I should have known you don't marry an actress. I gave her a Platinum Express card with a $45,000 credit limit, and she maxed it out in half an hour."
God.
Boy, I guess Burt Reynolds and I have something in common.
Okay, dude.
Job! Not talking about this.
Lonnie said that he physically abused her, George. So, yeah, so now...
I didn't know that was on the horizon.
No.
I was having fun doing radio.
Go back to your point.
I had no idea.
You and Burt Reynolds have a lot in common.
I have no idea that you were going there. I don't remember that.
Yeah, she said that he physically abused her at least half a dozen times. Oh, at least a dozen times.
Oh, man.
While he was allegedly under the influence of drugs.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah, you're saying parallel lives? Go ahead.
Well, up until like a minute and a half ago, yeah.
She said, "Burt always said no one would ever believe me because he was Mr. Wonderful and the world loved him."
That's really sad.
Not to question anyone, but do you guys ever, when you read stories and like the dialogue in it is just so cartoon character villain, you go, Does anyone really talk that way?
I think that, too.
No one will ever believe you because I am Mr. Wonderful, and you are nothing but a set of cans. Or whatever Burt said. Mm-hmm. Allegedly. She also accused him of not always paying his $15,000 a month in child support on time.
Oh.
And it wasn't until 2015... Gosh, it was that late that Burt finally wrote a $154,000 check that ended his divorce from Lonnie. They were still battling it out all the way till 2015. Mm. But anyway, just a little bit more.
$154,000 check?
Yeah.
So he ended up paying 10 months. Did you say it was $15,000 a month?
Yes, but this is a $154,000 check that finally ended his divorce. So I don't know whether that was child support or whether that was
could have been separate.
Them arguing over some object in the house that she wanted or he wanted and took. But yeah, The contentious, long, drawn-out Hollywood divorce. Mm-hmm. Always such a beating. Didn't I see where, like, Angelina and Brad Pitt are still battling over some winery? Like, all these years after they've split, and yeah. they're still going on and on about hating on each other in the courts. That's cray, yo. All right. I read a funny list.
All right.
That cracked me up. I was on a subreddit that was asking, what's a normal activity that instantly becomes creepy if done slowly?
Okay.
I want to see if you can get some. Get some! Before I tell you the ones that I saw most often.
This is like Family Feud.
Mm-hmm. Yes. See if you can get the number one answer.
Define it again.
A normal activity instantly becomes creepy if done slowly.
Waving?
That was on the list. It was lower down and only mentioned a few times. The number one answer was smiling. You just look at someone and just smile really slowly.
Go into a smile.
And what I was noticing as I'm reading through these is how almost everything, when done slowly, takes on an air of terror and horror.
I've got one.
What?
Driving through a neighborhood.
Yes. That was mentioned multiple times. Driving slowly through a neighborhood is instantly creepy to people. Lip licking was another one. If you do it quick, it's just you wetting your lips. If you do it slowly, you're up to something. Turning your head.
Yeah.
If you're turning your head to look at someone, you do it really slowly, just kind of looking over at them. And bonus, if you're smiling slowly while doing it. Laughing. Yes, that's always the staple of the villain in a movie when he...
That's how easily he goes into it.
Because no one laughs that way.
No.
Why? I've always been curious as to why the movie tropes became movie tropes when no one did them in real life. So then how do they become the shorthand for, oh, we know how we're supposed to feel about this character because he does something that all the bad guys in movies do. Not the bad guys in real life do.
Yeah. Giving the good guy a chance to somehow defend himself, because instead of just finishing off the good guy, he has to go into the evil laugh first.
Yeah, the evil laugh. And I remember Austin Powers making fun of the, when you're about to kill the good guy, you have to give a long speech if you're the bad guy. There's a lot of dialogue right before.
But I guess there's no one here to help you now.
I'd say another one that is a stupid movie trope that I don't think happens in real life is, before the bad guy kills the good guy in real life, does he always make the speech of, you know, we're not so different, you and me?
No.
This one's my favorite one. Singing nursery rhymes.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that always creepy? What is it about it that's so creepy?
Because an adult should not be singing nursery rhymes just randomly, unless you're, you know, trying to put a kid to sleep or something.
But it just sounds, Mary had a little lamb. Especially if it's at night and they're slowly walking through a hallway towards you.
Right. It sounds like that person has lost their mind.
Yes. Opening a door. Yeah. Especially if it creaks. Clapping. Although slow clapping could be... Slow clapping is always sarcastic.
Yeah.
Or in this case, if it's meant to everyone joining in, it's genuine.
I don't think it's creepy to slow clap.
I think it's mocking usually. Mm-hmm. Other than that usage we just heard there. But if someone does the old, you make a speech or make a stand on something, and someone just stares at you and starts with the... with lazy eyes, making fun of what you just said. Looking out the window, making eye contact with someone, and continuing to stare at them as you slow smile. Winding a jack-in-the-box or music box slowly.
Yeah.
I think all jack-in-the-boxes are creepy. licking ice cream, washing a cucumber under the running faucet.
Huh.
Slowly. Slowly doing that. If she walked in and found you doing that, George, would that be weird?
Yeah, probably.
And someone mentioned, I know a guy who can slow wink. It's extremely unsettling. Like an eyelid slowly moving down while he smiles. Hmm. I know some people that can't even wink.
I told you I can't wink my right eye.
Huh.
Just my left.
Eating a banana while maintaining eye contact and whispering into someone's ear. Things that are normal but creepy if done slowly. Gosh, I watched another freaking movie this past weekend, and their gun awareness was so bad throughout the whole thing.
It's terrible in movies.
I don't understand, because the movie sets, they have armorers who have to handle all the guns and know how to handle the guns.
Why do they always have to make some sort of cocking sound?
I don't know.
Even guns that you don't have to do that.
For dramatic effect.
It's always for dramatic effect, and it'll be like, you know, let's go in this building here, and then we'll climb the stairs to the 45th floor because the elevators are out to go get the bad guy. But as soon as they pull the gun out of the trunk, they cock
yeah,
it.
They got to,
and then
yeah.
they got this whole long walk ahead of them and everything. Just you just do it when you get up there. I don't understand it. Now, I guess they could be checking for shells. That's the other thing, is they'll cock it multiple times, and you don't see them shucking shells out of a shotgun.
Yeah, that's the one the shotgun is.
They've cocked it four times in this past paragraph for dramatic effect,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it never seems to eject the previous shell that you didn't even... it just drives me nuts. And there's no usage of a knife, brandishing of a knife, that doesn't have a sword coming out of a metal... sheath yeah. sound to it.
Yeah.
Like he just waves it at the good guy or something, and he goes, sing, sing. He's waving it in the air.
It's really sharp.
It's cutting the air. Yeah. That's the sound of the knife cutting the air.
That's right.
We're so bad on weapons. The other thing is, you have the good guys in formation going into a building, and they all got the guns pointed at each other's backs. It's like you don't point the gun through the person in front of you towards the bad guy.
Right.
That's not the way it's done. And anyway, I don't know why I started talking about that. Oh, because I was watching this stupid Netflix series.
What was it?
It's called The Hunting Wives. Hmm. It's about a bunch of lesbian women.
That go hunting?
Yeah, they hunt a pig. And one of them has an affair with a high school kid. And...
What an odd
and
premise.
Killing each other. And
sounds great.
Yeah. And they all have fake Southern accents. It's set in East Texas.
Oh, boy.
And the fake Southern accent. Once again, you can do a show that's set in some place like East Texas and just don't do the accents. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
The plot's good. We can handle it. Everyone can just have no accent and we'll be fine. But they think that, no, they have to make sure that they do a bunch of fake accents.
The Hunting Wives gets 82% on Roddy T's.
Okay, see? Well, I'm wrong on it. I mean, it was good enough that I sat there and watched whatever the 8 episodes they had.
Man.
But I was upset the whole time.
You binged The Hunting Wives.
For Dances with Wolves.
Yeah.
Was there anything redeeming about it?
Woman had an abortion from a high school kid.
Oh, okay.
That's redeeming.
Well, yeah, I guess not.
And an abortion.
Okay. Episode. How was episode 2 called? Knockin' Boots.
So bad.
Episode 4 was Cheat Day.
But you watched all 8.
Yeah.
Why weren't you after 1?
I watched it in protest. I watched it to make sure that I could see it to warn the P1s against it.
Okay.
So, yes, you've been warned.